Amen. Amen. Well, if you would turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. I've been studying through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and it's interesting to study those books. And there's some interesting events that take place. In Sunday school, we went through 1 Kings chapter 2, and we were talking about a guy named Benaiah. And Benaiah is one of those, he makes Rambo look like a wimp, okay? He's just one of those mighty men that took on and won battles by himself. And it was just somebody that was special. What we see here is the fact that we're seeing that there's an issue going on, and David's been called, and he's got another battle, and he has not done anything wrong. You ever found anybody that comes up against you and they're mad at you over something you never did? Something that, I didn't do that, I didn't say that, why are you mad at me for? They won't listen to you. And that's what happens sometimes. Well, that's what happens to David. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to address an issue here, and I've entitled this, and we'll get to the concept, but it says, "Too Strong for Me." That's my title for the message. Verse 1 in chapter 10 of 2 Samuel. It says, "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took the servants of David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho till your beards be grown back, then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. And when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the man for our people,
and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for the illustration that we see here in this, the wisdom that we see here. And Lord, it's just a blessing to see people like this that are involved. And Lord, we thank you for people that are concerned about others. Lord, I pray for you just to meet with us today, and let the name of Jesus be glorified in all that's said and done. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The very first point I want to bring out is it's compassion. All this started out because David had compassion on the son of the king of Ammon. What he had was the fact that he knew that he died. I want you to understand there are times when people are going through a hard time. And when they go through a hard time, they need somebody to love them, somebody to help, somebody that cares. And that's what David was doing. David was going and he was trying to comfort the son of the king of Ammon. And what we see is the fact that David had compassion. David knew what he was doing, what was going on. He had seen people die. He had seen different situations like this. And what we see is the fact that he's trying to care. He has compassion on people. And this alone is a lesson that we all should take, because he didn't just care for his own. This was not his country. These were not his relatives. They were not the children of Israel. This was some other people in the other country. And David was trying to share and show compassion to them. You ever done anything for somebody sometimes and you just get to the point where it gets so crazy that you wish you hadn't done it? That's what David's dealing with right here. He was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to minister. He was trying to help somebody through a tough time. And turns out that it blew up in his face. What happened was, not only was it David's compassion, but point number two is contention. They thought that David was sending his servants over there to spy out the land. I'll tell this because I think it's applies here. When I was in Kansas City, I was preaching a message. I was preached a two-part message on God's preserves. On Sunday morning, I preached God's preserves His Word, and then on Sunday night, I preached God preserves His saints. And by the way, if God can't preserve His words, He can't preserve His saints. But I was preparing that message and I was arguing with the Lord. This is never a good idea, is it? But I was saying, Lord, this one lady here, she's not going to agree with this message. I'm trying to tone it down. I'm trying to back up. And I've never been good at moonwalking, okay? So but what we need is to realize is the fact that when the Lord says do something, do it. And so I'd argued with the Lord a little bit that day, and He said, this is what I want you to preach. I said, yes, sir, I'm going to preach it. And I said, and my thoughts were, well, the lady's going to leave the church. And so I preached it. And when I preached it, she joined the church that morning. Now, I want you to see, God knows what people need. I don't. You don't. He knows what's best. David was trying to do something good. He was speculating. He was doing good. The children of Ammon apparently were not used to people doing anything nice for them. And that's why a lot of people around us are suspicious of your goodness,
of what you're trying to do. Of and we have that sometimes here when we help people. When we first started helping the youth shelter, what happened was the fact that we would actually go in there, but those kids were so suspicious of us because they weren't used to it. But they know us now. They've got to know us. Same thing when we were starting the bus route almost 3 years ago. We coming around, the people didn't know us, but they got to know us pretty good. Here we were starting a bus route right in the middle of a pandemic, just getting started. And you know what we did? We got some kids signed up. And in those weeks before we actually decided it was good to start the bus, we would go by on Saturday morning and we'd take each family a dozen donuts, or we'd take them, call them at lunchtime, say, "Don't fix lunch, we're going to bring by a pizza or a couple pizzas for you," and things like that. They got to know us. And some of those people we did that for, they still don't come to church, still never had the kids ride the bus. But the truth is, we were doing what was right. We were doing good. What we need to do is to realize that some people are going to see our goodness and they're going to be suspicious. They're not going to believe you care about them. Why is that? Because nobody's ever cared about them before, a lot of times. And that's what David's dealing with. He's dealing with the children of Ammon, and they don't believe that David cares enough to send somebody to help comfort them. Now let me ask you this. And this is, I think it's probably gone through your mind. I know it has mine. When you do something good for somebody and it blows up in your face, you're tempted not to do it anymore. Right? And I know. But what we need to make sure of is we don't let something, a bad experience, stop us from doing something good. This world is dying for people. It needs people to know that somebody cares. And if we don't care, who's going to? If we don't show them that Jesus cares, they'll never know that he cares. But David was caring and he was showing compassion, and it turned out to be a contention because they misunderstood his motives. But not only that, but look at verse number 7. And it says, "And when David heard of it," what they do, they got some friends together and different other kings and putting an army together. It says, "When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering end of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah," and anyway, I'm not going to read all this, but I want you to understand, they're getting together a group to fight David. Why? Because they were stupid. They handled it wrong. And what they could have done, if they didn't trust those men, just don't let them in the city. If you don't trust them, just say, "We don't trust you. We're not going." If they'd have done it that way, all this conflict would have gone on, which would not have happened. But that's my third point: the conflict. And the conflict is the fact that it's good and evil. And David was one of those people that you mess with his men and you embarrass them, it's not going to go well for you. But my focus today is not on any of that. My focus is on what my fourth point is. And look at what it says in verses 11 and 12. And this is what Joab said to Abishai, his brother. And it says, and he said, "If the Syrians be too strong for me,
then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come to help and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. I want you to get this. My fourth point is cooperation. You know what needs to happen in churches today? When one of us goes through a tough time, the rest of us need to rally around him. Sometimes the enemy is stronger against me than I'm going to let on. I'm not going to tell you about it. Sometimes you're not going to tell me about it. Sometimes we try to handle those battles by ourselves when we really need somebody to come alongside and help us. That's number one. That's why we need to pray for each other. If we pray for each other, sometimes the Lord will give us insight on somebody going through a tough time, and we'll rally around that person. We'll help them. We'll love them. And that's what we need to do. I can't tell you how many times I've had a problem, and in the back of my mind I'd have this problem, and I'm trying to figure out how to deal with it. And then I turn right around, and I start in my prayer time, the Holy Spirit gives me that answer to that problem. What happens if I don't pray? I don't get the answer. So there are times when I preach, and the Holy Spirit shows me something while I'm preaching, and I say something I'd never thought of before. You say, how does that work? All he's looking for is a vessel he can use. And if I'm full of myself, I can't be full of him. If you're full of yourself, you can't be full of him. We need to be filled with the Spirit. But what I like here is the fact that it says that Joab and Abishai were going to take care of each other. One's fighting over here, the other one fighting over here. And he says, if they get too strong for me, you come help me. And if this one gets too strong for you, I'll come help you. You know, the enemy is out there trying to beat people up. He's trying to get the best of us. He's trying to drag us down. He's trying to get us into depression. And I want you to understand, there's nobody that should care more for us than us. Christians ought to rally around, ought to love, ought to help, ought to be that one to help when the enemy comes. And by the way, you're going to face the enemy. I'm going to face the enemy. He's not going to let us alone. But guess what? That's why Jesus started his church. The world has tried to mimic what Jesus started, because Jesus started the very first support group. And who can support you? Who can support me better than each other? Because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the love of Christ in us. And that love comes out, or let's put it this way, it should come out. We shouldn't stymie the love of God. We shouldn't hold back the care. David, I'm sure he, when he got ready to do something else for somebody else, you know what he probably did? I'm not sure whether I want to do this or not. I've been there. I've helped people. I had a guy that rode my bus. I'm going to go ahead and I'll tell you his name, first name. His name was Matt. And I always greeted people when they got on my bus, and I'd say, how you doing? You doing all right? Good to see you. Something to that effect. And when they got off my bus, I'd say, have a good day. You know, that guy got mad at me for saying, how you doing? good to see you. Those kind of things. He said, he got mad. And he actually threatened me. You say, no, he didn't. Yeah, he did. He really did. Now, I want you to understand, I never did anything to that guy. But I want you to know that there are people that are going to take our goodness and try to read something deviant into it. Should that keep us from doing good? Absolutely not. You know, some of those kids, when I pass out the goodie bags at the high school, what we're going to do, I pass them out to anybody. Now, I've got to where some of them know what I'm giving out, and they don't necessarily want it, so they don't take one. They'll forego the candy to keep from getting the track. But I still got a lot of them. I'll see some of them come running down the hall because they see me passing them out, and they know I might run out. Am I supposed to quit handing out the goodie bags and the gospel tracts and all to all the kids because a few of them don't want them? No. Are we supposed to stop helping people, stop caring for people, stop loving people because somebody takes it wrong? No. Turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And I use these verses here when I counsel people to get married. And I look at verse 8, and it says, "There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is sore travail." Look at verse 9. It says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor." It says, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." It says again, "If two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Now, that I believe that's talking about a marriage between a husband and wife. You say, what is a threefold cord? It's the fact that when you try to break a thread, it's easier to break one thread than it is two. But if you take that second thread and then you take a third thread and wrap it together, it's a lot harder to break. The first thread is the wife, the second thread is the husband, and the third thread is the Lord Jesus. And he is that thread that keeps people together. All the out there are people that will try to break you apart, but I want you to understand, even when we're talking about church members, when we're talking about people that are going through a tough time, what happens? We need each other. You need me, I need you. And the shame of it is some people come and they say, "No, I don't like this music. Not my kind of music." Or, "I don't like that preacher. He's got a bald head." Or, "Don't like this," or, "I don't like that." I want you, hey, can you believe that at that church they have blue pews and green carpet? Not by choice, okay? The pews were donated and we bought the building and we don't have the money to take care of the carpet and haven't seen that it's that important. But if that bothers somebody,
enough to leave, pray for them. Pray for them. There are some people that will let something this small, let the devil start at it, and he'll start getting them riled about not coming to church. I remember a friend of mine, a guy I used to work with, he said his sister had a monkey. And said, what's that got to do with anything? Well, that monkey liked to pick at things. And he was in a cage, but he could reach his arm out of the cage and he'd start picking at the wallpaper. And he'd get a little piece started and there it goes. And go over here, another piece, there it goes. I want you to understand, sometimes we can do that. We can pick at things and make them so much worse than what they really are. God wants us to love each other, to help each other, to support each other, to rally around one another. Now, I know sometimes you're like me. I don't like to share a burden that I'm going through with a lot of people. And you might be the same way. But you need to have somebody here at the church that loves you enough, that you love enough, that you trust enough, that you can trust and tell things to, that nobody else will share, they won't share any with anybody else if you ask them to keep it in confidence. But we need to love each other. Just like Joab and Abishai. Hey, they were willing to put their life on the line for each other. I know they were brothers. As far as I know, everybody here is a brother or sister, except maybe a few. But hey, all I know is I'm going to love you. And you know what? You can't stop me. Even if you don't like me, even if you came up and slapped me, I might let you get away with it, but I'm still going to love you. Why? Because God's put that love in my heart for each one of you, and so many more. That's what we're supposed to do. Just like Abishai. If the enemy gets too strong for me, what am I supposed to do? I hope somebody will come along and help me. Just like with Brother Myron being out. Hey, Brother Bill stepped up. And by the way, he's never done anything like this. He's preached a few times, but getting up here, he's only been saved 2 years. And for him to step up here to sing or to preach or to lead the singing, it's a big deal for him. I'm proud of him for doing it. I needed him to do it. I asked him and he sure jumped in. What I'm saying is, hey, I needed some help and he came in. He helped. There are times when you're going to need help. Don't carry that burden by yourself. Come to me. I won't share it with anybody else if you don't want me to. I've got some people here at the church that I talk to about financial matters. I've got a finance team that I talk to. And what we do is we discuss when we're going to spend money, like for the money that we just put on the mortgage. Like getting the bus, when we got the bus. All I'm saying is, don't bear it by yourself. And when you see somebody else struggling, when you see somebody else that the enemy's too strong for, run alongside of them. Make sure you're praying for them. Make sure you say, hey, I love you. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. I'm going to tell you something. You may not even know what they're going through.
But that statement alone will help a lot more than you have an idea of. Yeah, the enemy's too strong for any of us. That's why we need each other. And the Holy Spirit inside of you is going to help minister to me and to each other. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we don't lose our compassion because others mess it up. They think it's not right. They're just trying to get an advantage on me. No, we're not. The love of Jesus is inside of me, and He encourages me to give it away. And by the way, do you know of anything else that the more you give, the more you get? Jesus, the more I give the love of Jesus away, the more I get in return. And that's what we need to do. We need to just give out the love. Not the criticism, not the negativism. What we need to do is just love each other. Oh, I know there are times when I do things you don't like and you do things I don't like. And guess what? We're different people. If you look for a perfect church, if you look for a perfect pastor, I'll have to resign because I ain't him. But I do know that I'm the person that God's called to this church. And I believe God's called every one of you to be here as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to be in Your house with Your people. And Lord, I thank You for this example that we see in Joab and Abishai. And Lord, it's an example of the Christian life. It's an example of what Christians ought to be in this nasty world. And if Christians, if those that claim the name of Christ would actually do what Abishai and Joab did here, this world wouldn't see us in such a negative light. They would actually want us to be around. Lord, move in the invitation. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.